and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Trinity Sunday is going to be taken from the Gospel of John. I don't know why. All week long, I was reading the Romans 16, and I could not get it in my head. But anyways, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, we're going to read verses 12 through 15. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Gospel of John, chapter 16, beginning at verse 12, continuing in Jesus' name. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Father, we ask that you would just sanctify us in your truth. And we know, Father, even as we shared with the students, your word is the only truth. So we ask that you would continue to guide, lead, and direct, and allow that we would hear from your truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Every time we do a confirmation, it comes out a little differently, and it's kind of interesting. You can bond with these kids, I would say, in different ways. This is probably, since I've been at Zion, this was my 14th confirmation camp because of the structure of the way the year started. We started in June. But anyways, it's amazing to see each group and how differently they are. But, you know, they mesh well together. They blend well together. And this group, I thought, really meshed well together. And so just to be able to build those relationships first and foremost is important. But also, we kind of had a panel where we asked the kids questions, they asked us questions, and I thought it was very interesting because when we were asking them questions, we were also digging a little bit to see what was valuable to you guys and what wasn't. And so, one of the things that I thought was really interesting is we have a class that is on different translations. In other words, there's always a kind of an argument about translations within our group. And it doesn't need to be, but there is, and that's okay. I'm not trying to make a statement on that. But these young adults were interested in how these different translations have come about. So I thought it was interesting. And then another class that we actually were thinking of getting rid of, but yet they affirmed that it was very important to them, was Scripture in Context. Because that is something that is very, we weren't saying we were going to get rid of it because it was bad. We want to get things that maybe would appeal to them in their, In other words, if they're interested, they'll study it more. But Scripture in Context was one that they spoke very highly of when we were doing that session also. So what I'm trying to say by this is these young adults, they're learning, they're growing, and they want to learn more. It's not only about volleyball. I didn't play volleyball with them this time, but Michael did, and he was kind of the king, wasn't he? Mike Mattinen, that guy can play some volleyball. His team won every game, and I think they played like 9 of them. So next year, we're not inviting Michael. But then Travis Fredrickson from Lorium was playing with them, and Scott Seppala was playing with them. And so it wasn't just about the volleyball. It was also about the learning. And that really encouraged me that these young adults wanted actual teaching. And so that's what this scripture basically deals with. Now, Jesus, he's been sharing with his disciples that all of this struggle is going to go on, that people are going to start turning against him. But he turns and he tells them basically, I'm only sharing a little bit with you. See, sometimes we have a tendency to gauge people according to what we know. And I always have a habit of saying by the yardstick of our years. In other words, Jesse's now 54 years old, almost 55, and I've been walking along this rock of faith probably since, at least, 37, 38 years, right? And a lot of you have been doing it a lot longer than I have. But my point is sometimes being in faith for 30 some odd years, we turn around and think, Jordan's got to be exactly where I am, or whoever. But we grow. And so Jesus is trying to share with them that there's going to be a lot of difficulties, there's going to be a lot of strife, but the Spirit will be there. And that's something that I think we all need to understand and know, that we would understand that God didn't just leave us willy-nilly upon this earth, that He is present with us by the power of His Word and the power of His Spirit, that He is here. And if we would but rely on that, because He really kind of talks in the very beginning, He says, very straightforward. Did I even read my scripture? Oh, I did, thanks. My brain is toast. You guys are going to be so happy when this convention is over, because I'm going to be happy. But anyways, you know, just before this text here, He kind of really talks about the fact of how this strength is coming, how really there's going to be a lot of persecution taking place in your lives, but the strength is the Holy Spirit, that He will equip you. And I think that's something that we really need to rely on, is the fact of just the Holy Spirit taking residence in our life by grace through faith, that we would have this ability to take on a lot of the issues and the struggles of the day. And so He kind of comes across in this whole thing, you know. He says there is a judgment that's basically coming. He says the Spirit is going to do something very powerful. I guess I should just start right from the beginning. He says, I'm saying these to you things from the beginning because I am with you. I'm sharing this now with you because I'm here. But now I am going to Him who has sent me. And none of you is asking me, where are you going? Because they don't fully understand. He's saying, I'm going to go back to the Father. I am going to take that place at the right hand of God. I will stand there as an advocate for each and every one of you. But they're not seeing it quite that way yet. He says, none of you are asking where you're going. He says, and actually, because now I'm sharing this with you about the persecution, about the death, everything else that's going to take place, your hearts are filled with sorrow. And that's understandable. He says, but you don't understand yet how important this is that I go. And what He's saying is, I am going to the cross. I'm laying down my life for each and every one of you. I am going to pay the penalty of death for each and every one of you, of sin. I am going to conquer hell, death, and the devil in your behalf. He says, so really the way He says it, it's very important, it's very expedient that I go to the Father because I'm paving your way. That's my English of saying it. And so He's sharing that with them just before this. He says, and then if I go to the Father, He's going to send the Helper to you. And the Helper is the Holy Spirit. If you look in your scripture, it's a capital H. This is the Holy Spirit. See, we can't contain in our fallen nature the Spirit of God because we're corrupt vessels. So Jesus, He takes our debt, He nails it to the cross, and now He gives us new opportunity that we can be, if we could say it this way, vessels worthy to hold the Spirit. It is in His imputed righteousness, a right work that has been given to you outside of yourself by grace through faith, unmerited favor. So He's saying, I am going to the Father so that the Helper can come to you. He says, and I'm telling you, if I'm going, I'm going to send Him. He's going to come. And we see on the day of Pentecost that that truly does take place in the book of Acts. And so He says, and when He comes, this is something that I find interesting. What does He say? When the Spirit comes, He's going to be working. So many times as human beings, we think we can dictate to everybody in the churches what to do. We have a tendency to dictate to people what is sin. How do we really know what is sin? Seriously. We make the statement, well, anything outside of Jesus or outside of God is sin. Fine, I can live with that. So everything we do is sin. So then how do we live our lives? Where do we put that line in the sand? Is this sin and this isn't? So how close can I come to the line? That's what human beings do in their fallen nature. They're always trying to figure that out. What does Paul tell us? Paul makes a very bold statement. I think Paul is a realist. He knows that we have to live in this world. So Paul turns around and he says something very powerful. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. If it has you, it's wrong. And that's the reality of it. Is it wrong to have a nice house? Well, if we only go on the rules of anything outside of God is bad, well, then I guess we shouldn't own a home. Well, what if we sleep in a culvert? Maybe the culvert's wrong then. See how you could go crazy? All things are lawful unto me. Jesus has paid the debt of sin. Not everything brings honor and glory to God. Not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me. I can live, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So as a stupid example of the house, if you're living your life for the house is wrong. But it's okay for you to have a house. You need a place to live. And so really, Jesus comes to clear the field and allow the Spirit to do the work. And as we said, oftentimes as Christians, we have a tendency to think we run around dictating to everybody what is right and wrong. But the words of Jesus, not some crazy pastor, not some seminarian, not something, whatever title we'd add, says very plainly, the scripture says, and when this helper comes, he will convict the world of sin. There used to be a statement we used to say, right? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So isn't it the word of God that does its work? This is what we walk the students through. When we talk about the office of the keys, you know, in their growing and in their learning, one thing that I feel was very important for them to understand is it's not our job to go out there and chastise everybody and tell everybody how bad they are. It is the word's job to convince men. It's not that this is an axe that we wield. It says very plainly, look now, there is an axe and it is being wielded. But in reality, it is God that does this work. It is God. And so now we go out into this world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and allowing that same gospel to convert the hearts of the people. But if we had it our way, we'd have a list of 7 things to do to be a Christian and probably 12 things that you don't do as a Christian. And then we'd sit there looking at our checklist and say, oh yeah, I'm good to go. We don't even want to talk about what Paul says about the good works of men. He says they're not worth anything. He says compared to Christ Jesus, they're like dung, manure. And so very plainly, he says here, and this is the words of Jesus, when he comes, he will do the conviction. He will work in the hearts. He said he will convict the world concerning of sin and also of righteousness, that he will speak in their lives. He says, what's the concerning of sin? He says in verse 9, the concerning of sin because they don't believe. That is the ultimate thing. But we have a tendency to build religions or build churches around outer things, where in reality, ultimately, it is unbelief that cuts a person off. And so he says, they're already convicted because they don't believe. He says, concerning of righteousness, why? Because now by faith they receive that Jesus is going to the Father. That he's going there for this purpose, to establish eternity for each and every one of us. He says, and really, he says, they also will have a full understanding of this judgment. But this judgment isn't pointed at you. This judgment is pointed at the ruler of the world, the fallen adversary. Christ came to secure eternity for each and every one of us. Christ came in reality to pay the sin debt of the whole world. Well, Pastor, now you're getting scary. You could start being a universalist. That's not what I'm saying. It's received by grace through faith. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about knowing Him who has given everything for us. It is about understanding His death as my death, His suffering as my suffering, His resurrection as my resurrection, His blood cleansing me. It's not about me. It is about His eternal work. And so He says very plainly, the adversary is judged. And he's come up losing. Because Christ has overcome hell, death, and the devil. But do we need it? Do we want it? Do we desire it? How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel? Because he says, how will they know if it's not shared? And brothers and sisters in Christ, you are those. You are those that carry the gospel. It's not just about the buppy up here on the stage. It's not about the pastors. Sometimes that's a lazy man's way of saying it. Well, you know, the pastor, he can take care of that on Sunday. I just got to show up. No, we are all a living testimony to be able to share the goodness of God, that for God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is the gospel message. It's not about rituals. It's not about rites. It's not about anything else that man can do. It is about the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, there's going to be judgment. There's going to be difficulty, but you're going to be okay. I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to be your advocate. I think about that often. When Jesse does something so boneheaded, and yet how many times does Jesus, and I'm being a little loose here, but tap the Father. That's on me. I got that one. He can't help it. He's human. But the reality, he stands there as an advocate for you. He knows your life. He understands your life. He knows our insecurities. He knows our struggles. And he still went to the cross for us. He knows our doubt. And he still went. In a healthy relationship at home, the one thing we know, Mom loves us. No matter what. I've done some boneheaded things in my day, believe it or not. My mom still loves me. My mom still, and she's human as they come. She'd hit me with a fry pan in a second. How much more with God? God loves you. He gave himself for you. It says very plainly in the scriptures, when you talk about Trinity, it's so amazing because it says a statement like, God was in Christ, shedding his blood, reconciling the world to himself. It wasn't separate people. It was the Godhead working together to save you, to save me. And he desires for salvation for everyone if they would but hear. Do they hear it? And so he says very plainly, the ruler of this world is judged. That's a done deal. Too many times we give him too much credence. Outside of Christ, yeah, he's a big enemy. But in Christ, he's a fallen foe. Jesus tells him very plainly, I still have a lot more to say to you, but honestly, you can't take it right now. And that's like even the youth that we're raising or even new in faith. You know, you don't sit there and someone walks through the doors and they come to a simple childlike faith and you're like, my life has been so hard. My life has been so difficult. I've made a lot of blunders. But God loves me. He gave his son for me. But do you understand the Trinity? If you don't understand the Trinity, or do you understand the office of the keys perfectly, or do you understand this or that, or transubstantiation, that's a big word, I can't still say it. Hey, we were talking about that at a camp. And you know? But the point of it is, he says, you're not ready. But they'll grow. And there was a lot of things I wasn't ready for. But God allowed me to grow. He says, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. He says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, once again pointing back to why he must go to the cross, why he must pay the debt of the world, why he in reality needs to, if you could say it this way, remake our vessels, he will guide you in all truth. What are we looking for in truth? Are we looking to truth on CNN? That'll happen. Not. Fox? Not. PBS? Not. I'm not saying they can't have semblances of truth. Truth is of God. It's of his word. It's by his Spirit. And this is the thing he's trying to say. What are you relying on? He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you in all truth. We talked about this a little bit out at camp. And it's like sometimes we feel like, well, you know, now that Christ has come, I'm free. I'm free. And that's awesome. We are free. We're not free to serve self. We are free in him to serve one another. So I can live any way I want. Well, if you're living in the Spirit of God, I'm going to say yes. But I'm going to ask you the truth. Ooh, truth. Is the Spirit of God going to lead you in paths of unrighteousness? Is it going to lead you in things that are not good for you? We see that happening a lot more and more. It seems like when the church starts coming to truth, it starts battling some struggles. You know, we are pretty much a dry congregations for many, many years, and I'm talking about alcohol, and I'm not condoning it, I'm not approving it, I'm saying it, that when people started coming more into the, I don't know what to say, freer side of things, then they didn't know how to control it. And they still justify it. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, and I will not be brought under the power of any. If it controls you, it's wrong. And there's a lot of people being controlled, not just by that, but by other things also. Jesse realizes that desserts control him a lot. And there's times of grace for that, no doubt. But at least desserts doesn't change your thinking. Anyways, he says, he will guide you in all paths of truth, and he will not seek for his own authority. And that's what I think is really interesting, right? He will not speak by his own authority, not seek. Speak by his own authority. We oftentimes, as fallen human beings, even in the religious world, speak by our own authority. We start telling people what they can and cannot do, how to do it, when to do it, how it's exactly going to be. We had a little conversation out at camp. I don't know if you young ones were there for that, but they were talking about kind of the mysteries of God. And, no, you weren't there, but it was Michael and I and Scott. And we were talking about something and, oh, about creation and all this other stuff. It was a bunch of things. And they're like, well, is it literal? Is it this or is that? And then I finally said, well, what about UFOs? They looked at me and they're like, oh boy. And I'm not preaching about UFOs. But my main point of it is, as I said to them, I said, I don't understand half this stuff. I don't know what happened to the dinosaurs. I don't know why they were here. I don't know what went on. All I know is I serve a perfect God, and he had a season for everything. And if he wants UFOs out there, if he wants something out, that's his business. It's not mine. I'm not God. He has called me to what I know. And what I'm saying is sometimes we as churches, and I'm saying as religious groups, can speak with such authority on things we really don't know about. It's like if two congregations are feuding and they're feuding over whether you should use wine or not use wine, it can be such a big issue, churches will split. Why? And what do we truly know? God knows everything. And God has given us the power of his word. And he has given us the power of his Spirit. And so we are better off not going into areas that we really don't fully understand. and preach what we do know. When the Spirit comes, He is going to guide you in truth. He's not going to speak by His own authority. We shouldn't be speaking by our own authority either. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And so what does that speak to the preachers today and to all of us? When it comes to the matters of faith, we speak what Scripture says. We speak what Scripture says. He says, and He will declare to you all the things that are going to come. And what is He going to do? And this is what preachers and all of us should be doing. Glorifying Christ. Glorifying the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is what we pray we do with the confirmants, that when they come out there, we're not telling them about Jesse. We're not telling them about Scott or Michael, Nathan. We're sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and His teachings, His word. And it's not like a temporary thing. Well, we're here for 45 minutes on a Sunday, then after that we let go of it until next Sunday. No, this is part of our life each and every day. That God loves you. He desires for relationship with you. And that He has good things in store for you. And that, yes, there will be difficulty. There will be trials in life. But He didn't leave you journeying alone. He gave you the power of His Spirit. The power of His Word. Open them Bibles. Open that app. Listen to that Word. And be encouraged. No matter what may be taking place, that God has an answer. He's going to glorify Me, is what Jesus says. He says, and He's going to take what is Mine, the whole kingdom. He says, and He's going to declare it to you. Peace is Jesus's. He gives it to us. That Spirit affirms that peace. Restoration is Jesus. He's going to declare that restoration. Forgiveness is from the one who's been offended, God the Father. And He's going to declare that to you. This is the work of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. We may not know everything yet. We may look through a glass darkly. But the reality of it is His Spirit is still effectual. It still is teaching. And it's encouraging. What these confirmants went through is just a touch. But what about for us? Are we still learning? Are we comfortable with our tradition? Are we still studying? Are we comfortable listening to men? Are we still praying and seeking for the advice of the Spirit? And the encouragement of the Spirit. God will work through His Spirit by the power of His Word, and it'll always glorify Christ. That's what we are encouraging these students to take upon themselves. He says very plainly, He's going to declare everything that is Mine. He says, and all that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I said, He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The truth. You come back to even where He was crucified, and Pilate is trying to figure it all out, and he asks a great question. What is truth? Truth is Christ Jesus and His love for us. He was crucified, dead and buried. He is resurrected and sits at right hand of God the Father and stands there as an advocate for you. You are loved. It's not about politics. It's not about the religion of men. It is about the true faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and that alone. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.